Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10x points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Holla talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com. Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
I am Matt.
And today we're discussing subtle marketing maneuvers that stymie your money momentum.
Yeah, sometimes we can be silly here on the show. We were going for nothing but M's.
Muck up your money moment.
The minute marketing maneuvers was it muck up? That was the one we're considering.
Next time.
We decided to not be so self-deprecating in the titles of the episode that we are presenting to you so that hopefully you will listen to this episode and that will allow you to make some smarter moves with your money. We're talking all about consumption during this episode.
And the power of advertising at play in how we choose to consume. Often, like, we like to think that we are in control of our own destiny, and that is true in so many ways, but there are a lot of subtle influences that are causing us at the margins to make moves that would part us from the money we've saved that could go to better use. And we're going to talk about those subtle ways and then how to combat them.
You know it. Yeah, that's right, man. Okay, so before we get to that, I've got a good frugal or cheap here, I think, for you.
Bring it.
Okay, a little bit of news. I joined a gym, I guess, several weeks ago now. I've been working out. We can probably talk about that maybe on some other episode. But I've been going before work, which means
your Goldberg-like trapezoids popping out.
Not quite. Not yet, at least. No, I don't think I'm going to end up looking anything like that, but I am getting stronger. I'll say that. But I go before work, which means that I get real hot and sweaty while I am working out. But luckily, the gym, they've got showers. So that's really awesome. I'm able to go in there, rinse off, get the sweat off, so I'm not all sticky and stinky when I show up here to work in our little, what we call the clubhouse. The How to Money, it's not a global headquarters. It's a clubhouse. But this is where the frugal or cheap question comes in. When I go into these showers, and these are public showers for the guys in the gym, there are soaps like shampoos, conditioners, body washes. In all of the stalls, like, there are multiple bottles of different soap that members have left there.
Oh, I thought it was like the gym that was providing these for you.
So they also have soap. They've got.
Oh, can I get the cucumber melon, guys?
They've got little things attached to the wall, like the basic whatever. But there's also all of these other kinds as well. And so I see these and I think, oh, sweet. This is a way for me to try out some different scents, some different flavors of body wash. And I mentioned this to Kate, and she looked at me.
Always go with the Old Spice.
With the Old Spice. Any of the Old Spice bottles, they do smell really nice. But I mentioned this to Kate, and she was like horror struck. She's like, by no means should you be using other people's soap. Are you kidding me? And I thought, are you serious? Like, see, these are bottles of soap that are left out. I mean, it's not like they're not like locked in someone's locker and I'm taking them out and I'm using them in the shower.
Like, write their names on them?
No names or nothing on them. Okay. Yeah, even if there isn't someone's name written on them, I would think,
I'll be like, oh, that stands Old Spice. Oh,
okay, I'm not going
to mess with him.
Somebody is laying claim to, like, the right to property. That's something that I uphold, Joel.
Okay, all right. I hope so.
And so my question for you, if there are bottles of different soap out in the shower, are those bottles up for grabs? Do I have free reign to use them?
I'm going to say no.
Really?
Say no. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was totally thinking that you were going to be on my side.
So go grab your $1 bottle of Suave at the grocery store, bring it in and start using that. Or if you, like you said,
well, just
you made it sound like there's gym provided soap.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they're attached to the wall. Well, there's also some nice ones down there. I'm like, oh, I wonder what that smells like. I want to give it a shot because Kate has always bought the $1 bottles of Suave. And I've recently thought, you know what? What if I had a smell? Like, what if every time I got out of the shower, it's like daddy smell, like dad, oh, that's daddy's smell, you know? Uh-huh. Like maybe some sandalwood, like something okay. like that.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I'm going to say no, you should probably get drunk. Like,
yeah, you're saying I'm being cheap. I feel that if they are out, they're up for grabs. They're free game. It'd be different, obviously. If I was taking them home, oh, that's super cheap because I think people are leaving them there. It's like, all right, yeah, whoever wants to give it a shot, have at it.
I don't know what the gym ethos is or the, you know, how people treat it.
It's so communal. Like even there's like a whole section of lockers that aren't like they're not locked up. They're just kind of like these boxes. And of course, I'm not going to help myself to somebody else's like shoes or like or like if they have like a bottle of water there or something like that. But it is a little more communal.
Ooh, free wallets.
Is that a phone? Oh, all right. Sweet free upgrade.
Been meaning to upgrade.
That's not the case. I don't know. In my mind, if you do not want somebody else,
if it was like, oh, I forgot mine, and you took a pump, that'd be one thing. But if you're like, I'm just gonna test everybody's scents and drain them till they're gone.
That's what I'm doing. I'm just I'm trying them out.
That's probably cheap. Yeah.
And some of them I'm like, yeah, that doesn't. I don't think I want to try that one.
Uh-huh. You have so much hair now. I don't know how much shampoo.
Well,
it takes.
I don't wash my hair. I just rinse the rest of my body.
Okay.
Don't touch the hair.
Gotcha.
That's too much work.
Okay.
I say that for at home.
Yeah, your hair's like as long as Draco Malfoy's dad.
It's getting like Fabio like, oh, man, I'll have the Fabio hair and the bod pretty soon.
Oh, we should do like a wind tunnel photo shoot with you. Show our listeners.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, so yeah, I think you're being cheap, but we can move on.
I can't believe it. I thought you were going to decide.
I can't believe
me.
It's not butter. All right, let's move on. Let's mention the
can't
beer.
Can't believe it's not butter. Spray.
Right.
Remember when they had the spray?
So good.
The spray margarine.
A true classic.
Classic 90s.
An ad that sticks in our minds, by the way, which is nice. Let's move on. Let's talk about ads and marketing maneuvers that stymie your money momentum. But quickly, the beer we're having on the show is called Nordic Jam. It's by Two Pitchers Brewing. Since I am a Nordic beast myself, Matt, I thought this beer would be perfect for the show.
Well, I'm looking forward to at least enjoying. I don't know if I agree with the beast part. You could have some of these Viking vibes that are going on here.
Oh, yeah. If I grew my hair out long like you, I would look like this guy on the can.
But I am looking forward to enjoying this one, and we'll talk about it at the end of the episode.
For sure. So when we're talking about marketing, basically, how something is portrayed can just have this major impact on how we perceive it. And Matt, as we were discussing how to kind of begin this episode, it made me think of how my wife can tell me something and it doesn't always register the same way that it might when somebody else does. Like, she might have been giving me great advice for a number of years. And I'm like, yeah, that's okay. I get you. I hear you. But then I end up hanging out with a friend, having a beer. And for some reason, it strikes me differently. And they tell me the same advice.
I'm sure Emily loves this.
She never gets annoyed.
Great for your relationship.
Right. So it feels like, you know, suddenly I can see it in a new light, this advice, because the messenger and the context are a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm human. I'm an idiot. And yes, she hates that I'm basically impervious to her advice at times, but other people, I so willingly accept it. But the reality is that our subconscious, it often responds to that different context or setting. And in particular, when we're talking marketing tactics, right, we tend to think that we're impervious to them, that maybe our brains are a lockbox, an impenetrable fortress that these advertisers aren't going to be able to get beyond. But none of us are as rational as we think we are. And those marketing tricks, they often nudge us to buy things we don't need and to spend money we hadn't planned on parting with. So Yeah, today's episode's all about those tactics. We're going to kind of confront a bunch of them and talk about how you can respond to them in order to help quash maybe the impact that marketing tends to have on us.
That's right. Yeah, how it is that these messages are presented to us can have a big impact on what actions we actually take. Whether that's you giving Emily credit for an idea or whether that's us buying something that we don't really need.
I'll literally tell her, like, I had this epiphany, but I had this conversation. She'll be like, I've been telling you that for years.
I'm
so sorry.
I love it. But here's the, you know, this shouldn't come as a shock, right? Because there is this entire industry that's dedicated to figuring out how to extract the most amount of money from us. And on, you know, on top of marketers and on top of advertisers, you've got individual companies, and they're all out there trying to maximize their profits as well. They're working hard to ensure that the messaging and the ads and the, just generally speaking, the way their brand or their product is communicated, you know, like that it's going to get you to support them by buying their stuff. And that product or service, it might be helpful, right? Like you might opt to spend your hard-earned dollars on purpose. But if you're anything like the average American, you'd likely hit undo, you know, on a bunch of different purchases that you've made in order to have that cash back in your life.
Yeah, we can all, I'm sure, if we just look even at our Amazon purchase history, but even just the things hanging out in our closet or in our drawers or in the garage, like we could find things. We're like, yep, that was a bad purchase. Yep, that was spur of the moment. Yep, I heard this great pitch and it caused me to buy something that I didn't need. And now I've used it once. And that money is often spent spur of the moment, right? Like that ad on Instagram or before your favorite show on Hulu, it could just prompt you to do something that's not in your best long-term financial interest. And it's why athletes watch tape on their opponents, right? To get familiar with their opponent's natural tendencies so they can exploit them on the field. Like we want to kind of do the same thing with this episode. We want to be able to see the tendencies that marketers have, how they're trying to part us from our money so that we can avoid them in the future. Because the more you can recognize the ways in which companies are trying to pry that money out of your hands, the more likely you're going to be able to say no, allowing you to keep that money in your pocket and spend it the way you have predetermined, not in the way they want you to.
Yeah. And so part of the solution here is going to necessitate having some bigger goals for your money as well. When you know what your money is doing for you and how it is that you're building more solid financial footing, it's going to be easier to breeze by and to not care, you know, that the newest electronic gadget or clothing item won't be in your possession. It's a whole lot easier to not let those marketing tactics impact your decision-making. And once again, this comes down to the why behind your money. We've got a free downloadable PDF that will help you to kind of hone in on that. We'll link to that in the show notes. But having that forest view of where you're headed is going to help you to realize that those little indiscretions are going to, you know, prevent you from making the progress that you're aiming for. It's helpful to not only say no to all the things that we are pelted with in our lives, it's helpful to be able to say yes to things. The things that we identify are going to be goals within our lives. You don't want to just be like the no, no, no guy. You also want to be able to say like, no, 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 because yes, I am trying to do this
yes.
thing.
Yeah, exactly. That helps influence and I think strengthens your resolve to say no to the things that aren't going to help you move in the direction you want to go. And you know, the interesting thing to me, Matt, is that it's often the most unscrupulous companies that use the most intense language to get you to buy their products, right? If you've ever had a friend join like a multi-level marketing company, you know what I'm talking about. They, not only do they start pitching you ridiculously hard, they also start talking to you differently, trying to get you to maybe sign up and join them and make a lot of money underneath their wing inside this MLM corporate. We did an episode, by the way, on MLMs back in the day.
Yeah, forget the number. We can look that one up and link to that one as well.
If you're curious to know more. It was a fun one because they're just bad news bears all the way around.
Yeah, and don't mention a certain knife company because they are not an MLM, but we had mentioned them. They were tangent.
You caught some flack for that.
We did, but we weren't saying that that's what they were, and I'm not even going to say the name of the company, but they were just tangential to the conversation that we were having.
Yeah, well, but MLMs are bad, and anybody who's trying to get you to join an MLM automatically by proxy, they're bad. No, they're not bad. They're duped. They're brainwashed. And the reality is that some of the best companies out there, they don't have to advertise. Like MLMs, they feel like they need to beat you over the head in order to get you to buy their products. But some of the best companies in the world, they don't use some of these cute marketing phrases because they're not running advertisements in the first place. Like Costco, for instance, doesn't advertise ever. Why? They don't need to. Word of mouth gets them far enough.
Because they solid.
Trader Joe's, Krispy Kreme, they follow similar ad-free models. The hot now light is all you really need for Krispy Kreme. You don't need some sort of pre-roll ad on a podcast in order to be...
to remind you of how delicious those donuts
exactly. are. That's all you need is that Pavlov's dog cue of the light going on, and then you're like, boom, I'm ready.
I mean, yeah, literally, we got this past weekend, we went to Krispy Kreme. The girls had a pretty solid week at school, and we're like, you know what? Let's just Saturday morning, we'll go to Krispy Kreme. We'll get a little treat for... I went with the three girls. And just standing there and being able to see through the window and watching those donuts come off the conveyor and like circle around. Even as I'm saying this, you're like, you know, the sugary, soft, yeasty goodness that is a Krispy Kreme donut.
The melt in your mouth
and
loveliness.
Yeah, like, you don't, yeah, it's oftentimes the memories that you have because you know how delicious and superior that product is over any Dunkin' Donut style cake donut.
I mean,
that's for sure.
You're preaching to the choir here.
But what we're talking about here are emotions, right? Because the reality is that marketers, in many cases, are attempting to inspire a feeling. And so oftentimes there's less of a hard sell, and the push is to make you come away from maybe a billboard or a streaming ad with a different kind of feeling. Like Coke, for instance. Like, they don't tell you much about the product in the ads that they run. They're not going to tell you about the high fructose corn syrup or everything else, the different coloring.
Did you know one 12-ounce can represents 80% of your daily sugar intake?
Let's talk about the number of grams of caffeine that this Coke is going to be
if
able to provide
you. If
you
drink it too late at night, you won't be able to go to sleep. Like, they're not telling you that stuff.
Yeah. Instead, they are showing, like, the cool people doing fun things with a Coke in their hands. McDonald's, like, they're doing something similar. And then they add that, I'm loving it, Diddy, at the end of the commercial.
I heard Justin Timberlake helped write that. Is that true?
Well, he performed it. Like, he performed the original one. I forget who wrote it.
I guess that little ditty sells a lot of Big Macs.
Yeah, it does. And by doing that, they're able to elicit this emotional reaction from you. It's the same thing with Publix and their holiday commercials. They always make you feel a certain way.
Stop it, Publix. Yeah. Stop it.
So when you recognize that this is what they're doing to you, you know, that they're trying to pull these emotional strings, it's like it's like peeking behind the Wizard of Oz curtain. It helps to remove that power that they previously held over you.
Yeah, agreed. There's something about being like, ah, I see what you're doing here. Mm-hmm. Whereas before,
pay
like,
no attention to.
Like, no, I do. It doesn't make me feel good seeing those ads. And boy, wouldn't I be cooler if I just grabbed a Coke? But when you realize they're pulling on the nostalgia heartstrings and some of those emotional techniques in order to get you to purchase something, you're like, wait. No more of that. I see what you're up to. Mm-hmm. And so, Matt, let's talk about... We're going to cover, in particular, a bunch of different phrases, specific phrases that marketers use in order to pry us from our money, in order to stymie our money momentum, as we said. And the first one is keeping your family safe. So, and basically, this is one of the phrases that you're going to hear by marketers across the board trying to sell you something. And sometimes, you know, it'll also be said like, yeah, this will help you protect your loved ones. And I guess it makes me wonder, well, were you safe before you had this product? Were you worried about your safety before you heard this advertisement? Or, you know, maybe this is a marketing gimmick to instill a sense of fear in you, right? Causing you to make the purchase that you otherwise wouldn't have. It makes me think of cars today, Matt, and how they're so much safer than they were like 50 years ago. And according to the Bureau of Transportation, back in the 60s, there were more than 5 fatalities per 100 million miles driven. Whereas today, we're at 1. Mm-hmm. So cut in a big way. Cars are more than 5 times safer today, largely due to improvements mandated in the 70s and 80s, like seatbelts, headrests, and adding a third brake light. But safety is still just this major marketing message that car manufacturers are touting to the public to get them to upgrade to something safer.
Because
maybe what you're in right now is not protecting your family the way that it should. And if you would only upgrade and spend $50,000 on this new vehicle and sign up for that monthly payment for 7 years of $750 a month, you too could be safe. And you would adequately show that you love your family. Even something as simple as like Christian radio, Matt. And I've flipped through there and I hear, and they're like, safe for the whole family. Like, was my family not safe before I turned the station on? Like, I don't think so. Like, I think of it as just like a crappy marketing technique that's almost trying to create a sense of fear so that you stick around for the solution that they're trying to provide.
Totally. Yeah. So I think one of the biggest solutions here is to realize, like we just mentioned, that oftentimes companies and advertisers, they are preying on your emotions to make a sale. And sometimes they're explicitly calling out safety. But other times, I think it can be like the softer sell, you know, like it's just baked into their messaging, like sort of like you were saying before. Like we were talking about Coke. It's not that they're explicitly stating that, like, do this and you're cool, but it's just super subtle. It's in the background, or maybe it's not coolness, but it's these other things that they're trying to sell you, these other emotions. And rather than making an emotional decision based out of fear, instead, we want you to just basically look at, like, the data and the facts. You know, we were just talking about cars. So in that example, that means realizing that cars haven't got much safer over the past decade, over the past 10 years, compared to like 30 or 40 years ago, right? Tire pressure monitoring and backup cameras are definitely nice, sure. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you are driving a car that's much, much safer than the one that's just a little, you know, a few years older than it. And it's okay to buy a newer car, right? We're not against you buying newer or nicer things. We just don't want you to convince yourself that you're doing it in order to primarily keep your family safe.
Yeah. If you are letting those subtle marketing influences of making you safer, making your family safer, incite that fear so that they can create some sort of expensive resolution, then we would say you're being taken advantage
totally.
Of by marketers. Well, Matt, we've got a bunch more of these marketing slogans we want to get to, and we'll discuss like where they pop up and how you can avoid buying into them. We'll talk about more of the most insidious ones right after this. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000-plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's Cachava.com/howtomoney.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. That's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer. We've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're a small business owner, listen up. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're actually choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers. They do everything from hyper-targeting best fit prospects through campaign optimization. Upswell Marketing's unique approach includes direct mail, search engine marketing, and social media ads, and has fueled more than 10,000 small business success stories. Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies. Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
All right, we are back from the break, and as we are talking about these different marketing maneuvers, essentially like a way that you can think about what we're talking about today. It's almost as if the marketers, the advertisers out there, all the different companies, they're essentially giving us a list of different excuses that we can choose from to help justify us spending more money.
So that we can feel less guilty about our decision to make that upgrade, to buy something that we don't necessarily need. And they're saying, here, we'll make it so you can explain it to your spouse or your partner
or to yourself,
right?
Exactly. It's self-justification for the behavior when we know there are things, we know there are expenses that we shouldn't be making.
And that way at the end of the month, you could say, I busted my budget, but it was for a good reason.
It's justifiable.
Right.
Exactly. We just talked about fear. Another one is peace of mind. Because if a company is selling you peace of mind, man, they can sell you almost anything. Our lives, they can be hectic. And the promise of a product that's going to be able to provide some respite, that they'll take important tasks off our plate, that often is going to go a long way for us. But what's the reality here? You know, like, do you typically get the peace of mind that you're seeking by buying something? Not often. Or if you do like that peace of mind, it might come at a substantial cost. And there's often a better solution that's going to be far cheaper. An easy one that I'm thinking of here is credit monitoring. And keep in mind that it's called credit monitoring, not because they're going to be able to solve all of your problems for you or keep someone from stealing your identity and opening accounts in the first place.
Right.
No. They're just going to let you know when that thing happens. But you think by just having that service, by having that subscription,
they got my back. They're keeping a watchful eye on it.
It feels like someone's on your side when, in fact, that's not what they do. And instead, the cheaper or free alternative here is just to freeze your credit.
Yep.
Or even if you don't want to freeze your credit, you can create an account with somebody like Credit Karma, or even your credit card companies will send you little updates if your credit score goes up or down. I've been seeing that recently with American Express. It seems like it's almost every week now that I get a short little email from them that's like, hey, your credit score has increased again, or oh, hey, it has decreased. And I'm like, all right, what's that all about? And I dive in there. But there are ways for you to DIY it, basically, where you can do it yourself without paying that premium every month.
Yeah, for sure. I think home alarms are another one of those that we should be a little more thoughtful about, because it can be really expensive. I mean, a lot of people pay $50 a month or maybe even more for a home alarm system. That's $600 a year. And it's all under the guise of having that peace of mind. Mm-hmm. So that just in case something happens, like, we've got your back and it's being monitored. And granted, there are a lot cheaper ways to do that, by the way.
Yeah, home alarms are like a double whammy because they've got the fear going on, like, keep your family safe.
Yeah.
And let's buy some peace of mind.
And at least, fortunately, a lot of cheaper alternatives are coming along. SimpliSafe is one of those. It's like, what, $15 a month, and you can kind of self-install. Or there's other ways even that you can buy a couple pieces of equipment and kind of self-monitor.
Yeah.
That's what we have, is just a couple cameras that came with the house. Yes, and we're like, boom.
Get like a Ring doorbell.
Hook that up to my app. It costs me $0 a month, mm-hmm. but I can at least kind of keep an eye on some stuff if I want to. But I think those kind of, if you want a monitored alarm, like, do it as cheaply as possible. There are great ways to. Ring even has a great product for that. But I guess some people just take that peace of mind. They take it so far, and they pay the hundreds of dollars up front for installation, and then they sign a three-year contract to pay something like $50 or $60 a month for that home alarm monitoring, when that is just completely unnecessary.
Yeah, what is that peace of mind worth to you, Joel?
Right, yes.
Like that's how they're sort of preying not only on that fear, but just on that, I guess, insecurity or just unsure. Like, it's almost as if we need to be better at calculating the odds of something terrible happening, right?
Exactly.
And even aside from like alarm systems, even something as simple as one of those plates that you put on the door jamb, because oftentimes they're just like where they kick the door in, right?
It's that extended kick plate that really makes it almost impossible to kick
a door
down.
It's impossible. Like, just get one of those, drop like, I don't know, like Strike Master. That's what they're called.
What are they, $100?
Like $60, $80 maybe for like the taller ones. Just get one of those, and because it's one thing to have your house monitored, which I don't know, that's always kind of bugged me, because it's like, well, I guess that's handy if you're like traveling in Europe for 3 months or something like that. It's like, okay, it's good to know if somebody broke into your house last week. But like, I'm more concerned about
keeping in the moment. So you can let somebody know.
I'm more interested in keeping someone out completely. And so for that reason, I am much more likely to be interested in just installing one of those plates than just watching somebody break into my house.
Well, that's also why you dug a moat around your house and put crocodiles in it, right?
Yeah, and spikes.
Yes. So
booby traps.
Yeah, nobody really attempt to go to Matt's house, okay? You don't want to do that. You don't want to mess with him. I mean, what about car warranties and extended warranties on different products we might buy too?
Same thing.
It's a peace of mind. And it's kind of like, well, hey, if that expensive purchase ends up crapping out, you're going to have some recourse, which means you don't have to fret. And you're not just going to be out a bunch of money if the, and they'll kind of classify it as inevitable thing happens. Like, this thing is not going to last forever, and you want to make sure you're insured against this, which sounds nice, except for the peace of mind in this instance is again, typically quite expensive. We would say that having money in the bank to be able to handle that broken down car or a busted television, that's how you have peace of mind, right? Having more money in the bank, self-insuring helps this pitch maybe fall on deaf ears as someone who is trying to avoid the marketers. If you realize what they're selling, they're trying to sell you peace of mind. But you can say, you know what? I've got the peace of mind because I have the cash in the bank. I don't need what you're selling. Mm-hmm. That just makes it so much easier to resist that pitch in the moment.
That's right, man. Another marketing maneuver that's worth getting to here is one that we've all heard before, which is it's going to save you money. And
if we're prone to fall for any of them, this is the one.
This is probably the case because this pitch, it probably likely registers with a lot of our listeners. We are always looking to save a few bucks. And if there's an item and it's going to promise to help us in our money saving mission, we should probably perk up and maybe pounce. But ironically enough, I feel like this is likely going to be successful only if that product actually forces you to consume less. So for instance, I'm thinking of like low flow shower heads or like LED light bulbs, like some of those wool dryer balls, right, that you throw in the dryer to help speed along your clothes drying.
Which is interesting. You mentioned all those things. And I'm like, I don't really see advertisements for those things.
Those are all things, though, that you buy that do say, do end up saving
money. They might
money.
Say it on the packaging or something like that, but those things typically sell themselves because people
they
understand the benefits and because they actually work, less because they're being sold to you.
That's true.
Under this guise.
Exactly. But what makes these products successful, though, is the fact that you're basically already participating in the action that's going to, where it's going to save you money. Like, no matter what, you're going to take a shower. Like, you're going to turn on the lights at your house. You're most likely going to use your clothes dryer. So it's really a default way to save money. But like, what I'm more suspicious of are products that claim to save you money, but it's a behavior or it's an activity that you're not used to doing, right? Or that you're just not committed to. It makes me think of like Instant Pots. Everyone's like, oh yeah, the Instant Pot craze 6 years ago or whatever. This is, it saves a lot of time. You're going to be cooking more meals at home, so it's going to save you a ton of money. Well, that's great if you're someone who likes to cook at home, because if that's not something that you do, if you're buying this item or like a bread machine where it's just, oh yeah, hey, you don't have to buy bread anymore. It's like, well, do you like bread even to begin with? Like, is this something that you do?
Or if it's are you going to follow through? Because how many neglected bread makers are in the kitchens of America? Millions. I guarantee you millions of unused bread makers like that haven't gotten used for at least a year, probably five, are sitting there in people's cabinets.
It was fun for a little bit, for a while, but
then
folks fell off of the wagon because it just wasn't something that they were interested in. They weren't committed to it. And it's difficult to buy a product that's going to cause you to completely change your behavior. And that's assuming that's something that you want to do, right? Like, you might see the bread maker and think, well, I want to make more bread. I would love to have the smell of fresh baked bread in my home, just like those ready now donuts or whatever at Krispy Kreme. But they don't actually follow through.
Oh, man, if we had a Krispy Kreme machine at home, dang.
Where you could make your...
That wouldn't save me money. That just made me fat.
Yeah, but I mean, there are just so many products like this, though, that make me... That think that, like, they're trying to sell you on a behavior. Yeah. It's not that you can't just buy the product. They're basically... In order for this product to work, you have to participate in a behavior that people may or may not be into.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible, right, that a company could end up saving you money, making something else in your life redundant, and then allowing you to curb other expenses.
Sure,
you might now have hanging around. But it's important to question the premise. Like, how exactly are you going to do this?
Exactly.
And what actions do I have to change in my own life to make sure that this promise actually comes to fruition? And you know, definitely make sure to avoid the trap of thinking that you're saving money just because it's on sale. That's another thing. It's like, come over here, we're going to save you money. Like, for instance, Black Friday, right? That's always...
You're going to save so much money this weekend.
Because
it's like, oh, really?
40% off list price.
How much money will I actually have in my accounts after all of these sales?
Oh, I'm going to have less. I'm just going to have more crap is typically how it turns out. So that's one of those things. Like, if it's going to save you money, those promises might have a tinge of accuracy to them, but typically we're being sold a bill of goods, and it doesn't always end up that way. And actually, most of the time, it ends up costing us money that we can't afford to spend.
Yep. We have high hopes, but the reality is oftentimes we don't change our ways. Mm-hmm. It's easier to buy stuff than it is to change our behavior. I guess that's the core of what I'm getting
at. Oh, man. I think actually sometimes, Matt, we buy things in hopes that it will change our behavior.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it doesn't.
It's aspirational.
Exactly.
It's like the bread maker or the Instapot. It's like, oh, I'm going to be the home chef now. Yes. It's like, no, you're not. You're
hopes
buying this
dreams,
thing.
Baby.
Thinking that that's who you're going to be, but buying stuff doesn't change who you
are. It's just like buying a piece of workout equipment and saying, like, you know what? This is going to cause me to get fit.
It's like, how committed are you then?
Right.
Like, because the person who's like, no, this is going to be something I'm going to do, it could be some of the best money they've ever spent
exactly.
in their entire life. But
and it could save them money from actually getting a gym membership if, mm-hmm. if they're actually going to use the piece of equipment that they purchased to be at their house. But if you buy a bike aspirationally hoping it's going to get you out on two wheels, that doesn't mean it's actually going to do that. But if it does, more power to you. Like
if it does,
it's probably
I love
a good
it.
Purchase.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree, man. Okay, how about another one? Cancel or unsubscribe anytime, because that sounds nice, right? It feels like that there is an easy way to get out.
Yeah, it's like, oh, no harm, no foul. Like, how it can't hurt me.
Got nothing to lose. You can cancel at any time. Like, it's a breeze. But the reason that marketers use this tactic is because a huge percentage of folks don't actually cancel before the free trial is over. 48% of folks, according to creditcards.com, they put out a survey. 48% of folks, nearly half of folks, admitted to being charged for at least 1 month after forgetting to cancel a subscription. This is something I've totally done.
Yeah.
But that's why you should take this marketing pitch with a grain of salt. And if you do opt to try something out because you've got a free introductory period, put the cancellation reminder on your calendar and set it up with alerts.
I feel like alerts.
I'm getting better at that, where like I often will put things on the calendar.
The day before, by the way.
But
don't put it on the day of.
Yeah, that's true. But the alert I have found for me helps tremendously because the chances that you're going to remember on your own are slim to none. And read over your credit card statement as well, because if you know where your money is going, then you're going to be less likely to allow this to compound month after month, at the very least.
Yeah, if you keep reading it over
once
every month and you're like, wait a second, oh, I see this every month.
Am I spending money somewhere? I don't know. I have no idea where my money's going.
I don't feel like I'm using this thing. You're more prone to take action.
Yeah. If we were to do that, the number of folks who are paying for a subscription they don't want or need anymore would go down dramatically if we all actually tracked our expenses. And another reason, too, that we would suggest for folks just to avoid this falling into this trap is because we like to go down the path of least resistance, right? We want certain things in our lives. And so we might click the button for the free trial. We might enter in our credit card information. But then once that thing's on, like that recurring billing cycle, man, it is easy to allow that charge to continue to remain. Because basically, we are wired to follow the path of least resistance.
No wonder people want to just like get their foot in the door, right? Those marketers.
They know.
They're like, listen, I'll give you a week. I'll give you a month for free.
Yeah.
You want to know why? Because you're not going to cancel when it's over.
Same thing with like the mattress companies. It's
and,
like,
and that
you
free
can
month?
Sleep on this thing for 10 years.
Right.
And it's like, well,
who's actually going to go through the trouble?
You're probably not going to do that.
Well, very few people.
Actually, 10 years might be at the end of the life cycle. So people probably would take advantage of it then. But like, I don't know, 100 nights sleep for free, whatever, on the mattress. But few folks aren't doing that because they've broken the bed in. That's their bed.
That's right. Exactly. And so that is a big thing to watch out for, the unsubscribe anytime. It's like, it sounds good, but we're liable to sign up for something we have no interest in and then be paying for it without realizing it. And so, Matt, one other marketing technique we have to talk about is the buy a pair, give a pair. This is something that's been around now for what, since the heyday of Tom's? I feel like Tom's invented this sort of marketing technique where it's like,
they're definitely,
You buy yourself a nice pair of shoes and guess what? We are going to be giving shoes to the needy around the world in order to make the world a better place. Look at you're doing with your spending dollars.
I bought a pair of Toms back in the day. Like maybe,
I know you did.
I bet this was like 2008, 2009. Kate and I, we actually bought each other Toms. we were like, all right, for Christmas, I want to get you a pair of Toms. So you pick a pair out for me and I'll pick a pair out for you. And there'll be two kids on the other side of the world and they'll have shoes.
Exactly. So you got to feel good and your feet got to feel good because you're wearing a pair of Toms, I guess, right? But I think that, and I don't want to really go too hard on this one because I know people might throw some hate mail back our way.
They're like, wait a minute.
This is great, guys. Why are you hating me? Well, it's because it's a strategy that often gets us to buy something we don't need in the first place, because you have to buy something in order to make this giving momentum happen so that somebody else gets something. And a bunch of other companies are doing this now. Bombas, Warby Parker. It's truly because when you feel like you're doing something good, it's easier to spend your money on that product.
It's easier to justify, man. It's come back to that self-justification.
That's right. And it's not a nefarious thing, I don't think, but it is an effective marketing tactic that can cause you to spend money when you otherwise wouldn't. Like, I like Bombas socks, Matt. I got no problem with them. I have some pairs myself. I enjoy them, but I just don't, I don't buy them because it makes me feel like I'm doing something good for someone else. I buy them because the socks fit me, they're comfy, they last a long time. So just make sure that, like, yeah, if these companies, these altruistic companies, are doing something good, that you're not necessarily buying something you don't need or can't afford just because you're doing something nice for someone else in the process.
That's right. And again, we're obviously not opposed to doing nice things or to giving our money away. And we're not against you supporting companies who are doing good work in your community. But don't let that marketing tactic cause you to buy a pair of shoes or a jacket
or
glasses.
We're not Scrooge. We're not Scrooges over here. We're not anti-Christmas.
We don't want you to consume when you don't necessarily need to. Because guess what? Well, guess what would be a more effective way to give your money away? If you gave all that money away directly to an organization, sure. Not by buying something and participating in sort of like this consumption-based charity.
It's like the ultimate merging of capitalism and philanthropy.
It's very America.
It's the most American marketing tactic I can think of.
Yeah.
And it is... It feels good when you buy something, mm-hmm. and it's a way for the people who do genuinely care about others, which I think most people do, like to feel better about their purchases. But in reality, there's better ways to give your money away while buying fewer things at the same time.
Yeah, just because you support these companies like that have a philanthropic mission, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't all be looking to donate our money wisely for causes that we care about either. This doesn't, basically what I'm saying is like this doesn't take us off the hook to give our money away in more direct ways. Like we can't just buy our way into generosity. And so I think like this is one that I think some folks, hopefully, I hope this does challenge folks, because oftentimes this is, of all the different marketing maneuvers that that companies use, this is the newest, and this is probably one of the ones that is most effective on our generation, because folks are looking to the different companies and the different organizations that are out there who are doing good. Mm-hmm. They want to be investing their money in ways that align with their values. They want to be spending their money in ways that align with their values, like all of these things. But we're just saying that there are more effective ways to doing those things while also consuming less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. All right, Matt, we got more to get to. There are more marketing phrases that part us from our money, some of which have stood the test of time, but we still get duped by. And now there are even new kind of online versions of these same tactics that we'll talk about. We'll get to that right after this. Kachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Kachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Kachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Kachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the a.m. in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Kachava. Just go to kachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's kachava.com/howtomoney.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. That's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access... Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host. Or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're a small business owner, listen up. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're actually choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers. They do everything from hyper-targeting best fit prospects through campaign optimization. Upswell Marketing's unique approach includes direct mail, search engine marketing, and social media ads, and has fueled more than 10,000 small business success stories. Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies. Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
All right, man, we are back from the break. Let's keep humming along here. Another one of these phrases, whether it is explicit in the way a company says it or whether it's implicit, whether it's something that they're just signaling, is you deserve it. Like what this company is saying is
that... You say that to me all the time, but it's usually negative.
You deserved it, Joel.
You punch me in the face and you're like, you deserved it.
No, like when companies are communicating this message to you, like what they're saying is that you should treat yourself. And it's true, right? Like, you've had a ton on your plate lately, and you might find yourself in need of some pampering. But don't book that cruise just because the marketing company says that you deserve a vacation. The better question is, have you saved for that vacation, right? Like, can you actually afford it? Or will you be putting that cruise on your credit card, opting to pay it off in the months or maybe even years to come? Because if so, that spontaneous treat that you decided to lavish upon yourself, it's now going to cost you a whole lot more than just the list price, thanks to the interest that you're going to owe on top of it. In this case, the marketer has tapped into a feeling that we all have, but their solution is one that creates oftentimes more financial misery. And again, this is an instance where it pays to have a money mission statement. Have you identified that this is a part of what it is that you're seeking to do with your money, whether in the short term, like we're talking about cruises? If that's a way for you to accomplish what it is that you've laid out on your money mission statement, then we are all for it. We're all for you spending some money, but we want to make sure that you have the right motives for spending that money.
Yeah, man. Basically, what we want people to avoid is letting an ad campaign convince them that they deserve something that's really only going to make their life harder in the end. And there are ways to get the rest you need or the break from work maybe that you need without spending a ton of money. Mm-hmm. It doesn't involve buying something in order to make that happen. And I don't know, I think of a you deserve this frugal hack as going to spend some time in nature. It's amazing how restorative spending an hour or two on a hike can be in clearing your mind or just kind of restoring some calm to your life. And the fantastic thing, it's completely free. Like it doesn't cost any money. Maybe there's some sort of like parking fee at your local state park or something like that. It's $5. But you can get one of those annual passes for almost nothing. And typically there's a million places that you can go to get out in nature that don't cost a dime. And we all deserve a break from time to time, but it doesn't have to be an expensive one in order to be effective. We would say it's best to ignore the subtle, sneaky ads that are tapping into this emotion because we all feel it. So many people feel busy. They feel overcommitted. And then if there's a product that's saying, you know what? Even though you are those things, I can make you feel better in an instant. I can give you the rest that you need. Well, we feel like we need that, and so we feel like we need to buy the thing to get us that. And so it is a sneaky way to get us to part ourselves from our money. But ultimately, it doesn't pay off in the way that they promise. And by the way, if you want other ideas for how to treat yourself without breaking the bank, we talked about that in episode 482.
Yeah, and I think there are ways that you can actually, like where you do spend a little bit of money, but it oftentimes comes down to how you frame that purchase, right? And so maybe you hear Joel talking about going hiking out in a state park or something like that. To me, that sounds awesome. But you might be listening and thinking, there's no way I'm going to do that.
Oh, like, mosquitoes,
that
gross.
That sounds terrible. But maybe for you, like a bar of fancy chocolate or even like a nice bottle of wine.
Or just a bath. Like sure. Sometimes it's running a bath and yeah. putting some bubbles in there and just chilling for 45 minutes with a book.
But just naming it, like, this is my treat after a crazy week. Or, you know what, I'm going to splurge and buy just something that costs just two digits, right? Like, not even more than $100. But by naming it and setting it apart as this special thing, I think there's a way for us to frame what some people might call, like, ordinary expenses, but they truly could be more special in your life.
I mean, you can do that even with something like a craft beer. You can be like, you can make craft beer a regular occurrence that isn't special, or you could say, you know what, once a month or every other week, we're going to crack this one special bottle and you're going to make it like a moment. Yeah, there's a way to turn something that is ordinary, considered ordinary by others, into something special for you. Proper framing makes a big difference.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Less hassle in your life. This is another phrase we often hear. And this one has a lot in common, actually, with the peace of mind promise as well. But it's always nice to be told that someone else is looking out for you. They've got a magic pill to make your life easier. And, you know, it is true that a company might be able to save you some time. Like, it makes me think of getting your groceries delivered, for instance. Like, that's almost certainly going to add a decent bit of time back into your life that would otherwise been spent maybe wandering the aisles yourself. And paying for convenience is not necessarily a bad thing. In this case, curbside pickup or even grocery delivery could end up saving you money, actually, by helping you to stick to your list of groceries. But depending on which service you use or how prone you're going to be to improvising while grocery shopping, the costs of this convenience can actually add up pretty quickly. That's where a $35 Target order could actually end up costing you something like $62 if you use DoorDash.
Yeah, so you can get less hassle, but it comes with a premium.
At what cost?
Yeah, or let's say paying to get your house cleaned or to get your lawn mowed. You know, well, that's going to cost you money, but it's also going to save you time. So the question then I think to ask is, how much time are you saving? We talked about that a little bit, Matt, back in an episode called Knowing Your Hourly Rate. And that is an important thing to understand. Like, how much is your time worth? Could you trade that time in order to make more money if you're hiring someone to do a task for you? Which comes down to what you're planning to do with that time. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is that we can so easily get used to paying for convenience that we end up wasting money that it could have been more useful for us elsewhere, because we're not actually planning to work more, or we don't necessarily even have a task or an enjoyable activity planned. We just get used to the reflexive activity of paying more for convenience at every turn, and without really the thought for how much it's costing us, whether we can afford it, or whether it's actually making a difference in our lives, whether we're getting the bang for our buck that we want.
Sure.
And so I think it's a good thing to think about our future selves, and not just easing our lives in the here and now, but the more money we can save for our future, the more options our future selves are going to have. So if it's eating so much into your budget, right, these convenience items, these services that are creating less hassle for you in the here and now, well, are you setting yourself up for more hassle in the future because you're neglecting to save and invest like you should be? Those are important questions to ask. If you can do all the above, that's okay. But we're okay with you paying for services that do make your life a little bit easier, but you want to make sure the trade-off is worth it and that you're not just making a knee-jerk reaction to make your life easier at every turn. The cost be damned, basically.
Ooh, getting feisty over there.
I get passionate sometimes, man.
Well, I think the thing to keep in mind here too, like, oftentimes I feel that when we pay for convenience or less hassle in our lives, oftentimes we're not getting rid of hassle per se. I think oftentimes we're just exchanging that hassle with a different type of hassle, right? And so in the examples I gave, like, I'm thinking about the grocery delivery services that are out there. How many times have you had something not be in stock and they've had to replace it with something that you have no idea what to do with?
Yeah.
You get this item and you're thinking, how is this a comparable substitute? This is something that ends up just going in the trash because you literally don't know what to do with it.
Or the bananas were, like, overripe, or
sure,
the apples, half of them were bruised,
the list goes on.
I
feel like it exchanges it for different types of hassles, different types of problems. It makes me, like, lawn service. We hired some guys to cut our lawn a bunch over the summer while we were kind of moving in the house, trying to get settled. We're really busy. Also, we're out of town a bunch, you know, going to the beach with y'all, things like that. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty nice having these guys cut the grass and stuff. Well, they also do bushes. And the last time they came out, they totally hacked up the bushes. And Kate was pissed because they were finally starting to branch out and they were flowering. And I'm like, dang it. This is something that seemed like it was removing hassle from our lives. Not only did it cost me money, but now my wife is not happy with the job that they did. And so, yes, it can solve some problems in your life, but oftentimes you're exchanging an old set of issues or problems in our lives for new ones that we also then have to learn how to navigate.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And so, yeah, another marketing tactic that people use in order to sell you on something you might not need or can't afford is for a limited time only. And it is, of course, a classic phrase that marketers have used for decades. And basically, they know if you don't feel like there's a need to take action right away, you're going to put that purchase off. So they've got to make an attempt for, like, last time I was in Costco, Matt, there was a Vitamix sale. And they were like, yeah, this is the last time it's going to be at this price, dude. So if you want your Vitamix at $400, you better do it now, because when you come
next
back,
week, it's going to be at $380.
Yeah. Or they're like, yeah, it's going to be like $500. And then the next sale, it's only going down to $450. And I was like, okay, cool. Thanks for letting me know. But they're trying to make a sale by making me feel like I'm never going to get this price again. Like, this isn't going to last long.
And that might be true.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because with inflation, the cost of goods, we might only see the price of the Vitamixes skyrocket from here. But the fact is, are you going to use that Vitamix? Is that something that you're going to start incorporating into your life?
I didn't get one. I don't need one.
There you go.
But I will say, this is something that happens quite a bit. And oftentimes, the reality is that it's not even true. 40% off this weekend only at Old Navy. That's 3 weekends out of 4. Okay? I'm just letting you know. Old Navy has a sale basically every day of the week. And
you said that really well, actually. Like the way you said the 40%. You've been moonlighting on the side a little bit, haven't you?
Maybe I have. Okay. No. Well, and so if you notice these sales, they might not be in perpetuity, but they happen a ton. And so for a limited time only, it's really an attempt to get you to make a spur of the moment decision and buy something because you think you're getting a deal. It makes me think, Matt, back in the day, I don't know, I worked in radio, so I heard these ads a lot. Joseph A. Bank. Do you remember them? They were like a suit retailer.
Was it them who always said, you're going to love the way you feel?
No, that was Men's Warehouse.
Oh, dang it. See, I'm not up to date on
but
my
Joseph A. Bank,
radio ads.
It was impressive, man. They ran ads every day, and it was this one day only sale or two day only sale. But the thing is, it happened every week, and those ads ran every day.
Like the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah, at one point, Joseph A. Bank actually ended up, there was a lawsuit alleging that these sales were fake because they basically happened every day of the year. And so these are the kind of things, these are the kind of tactics that marketers are pulling. Joseph A. Bank certainly isn't the only one, although they might have been the worst offender. These are the kind of things, though, that they're trying to pull at your wallet strings by telling you that the deal only lasts for a short period of time. And if you don't jump now, you're never going to get it, at least not at this price. And you're going to regret it for, I don't know, the rest of your life or at least the next week.
It's all about that sense of urgency. And I mean, there are other ways of saying this, right? Like, while supplies lasts. So be aware of what these sorts of phrases can do to you. Like, it makes me think of timeshare presentations, right? Like, they do this very successfully as well. But the reality is, websites, they don't even have to use that kind of language anymore. You know, like, they often just have a timer that's counting down to when the price is going to jump up, creating that same sense of urgency. We're talking about those lightning deals that you see on Amazon, but anyway, they're able to use a limited time only. If it feels like the clock's ticking, these are all tools that make it feel like you have to pounce now.
Yeah, and I think one thing you can use, Matt, when we're talking about that, while supplies last or last chance, or here's a price tracker and this special price is going to end. Well, something like that on Amazon, you can use Camel, Camel, Camel. It's this plugin that helps you kind of track the historical prices on Amazon over the past 90 days. And then you can use the information to your advantage. You can be like, yeah, this is 30 cents cheaper than it normally is.
Yeah.
And I don't care. I'd rather pass, and I can always spend 30 cents more if I end up wanting that product later. But having that information at your disposal, knowing whether this is legitimately a deal, whether it's far cheaper than other people are selling it for, other retailers have it listed for. And similar to what we were talking about earlier with sending a calendar reminder for canceling a free trial, I think if you do opt to buy something because of this, I think you should avoid it, right? I think you should avoid it at all costs. But if you do end up buying something, like, know the return window so that you can return that item before you're going to have to keep it forever. So if you do make this impulse purchase, set a calendar reminder for the date that you need to have it returned by so that you can avoid being charged for it. That's just one way to kind of help lessen the impact of those limited time only calling cards that the marketers are always trying to use on us.
Totally. Another tactic to keep in mind is what we'll call quote unquote premium products, because is that food product really premium or is it handcrafted? It makes me think of there's a lawsuit against Tito's a few years ago because doesn't it say like handcrafted
legacy? And someone was like, wait a second.
Is like this actually made by hand?
Five stories worth of vodka in that tank, and I don't think anybody's doing anything with their hands in there.
Exactly, yeah. It's these sorts of assertions that make us feel like that our money is being well spent, right? Like, I mean, hey, this is legit nice. This is some premium stuff. But is it? Or is the cheaper alternative going to be just as good? And specifically when it comes to vodka, you don't need to splurge on the premium vodka, right? Because it's odorless, it's tasteless. And this is an area where you probably should definitely be saving your money. But these are all labels that are important to keep in mind. Like, I'm not even going to talk, like, go down the path of things being all natural or environmentally friendly, the different labels that companies are able to slap onto their products. Man, back when...
this podcast is premium, actually. I don't know if people knew that, but...
It is premium. This is a premium podcast. Back when we had our dog, our sweet Great Dane, Stella, we used a lot of poop bags because that's just the life of a dog owner, right? And I remember one time we bought these poop bags that said, these are biodegradable. And I remember thinking, oh, that's nice because... maybe I can start putting these in like the compost bin instead. And when I got them, there's no way those things were biodegradable. Like maybe in like 500 years, they'd be like biodegradable. But they were...
on what timetable?
They were exactly like the other plastic bags we're getting. And I didn't pay extra money for them or anything like that. I just thought, oh, well, that's nice. And maybe go with them rather than the other vendor who was selling poop bags at basically the same price.
Yeah.
But yeah, are these things actually what they say they are? And certain companies like that are coming under fire from the FTC as well. Like, you can't make these claims, at least not for long.
Yeah, yeah. And we're all, it's important to remember that we're all susceptible. Matt, I am to these sorts of marketing gimmicks that are trying to part us from our money. And sometimes they are just hard to kind of put our fingers on. Hopefully we've kind of named a bunch of them and you can kind of see, oh, I see how different marketers are trying to do that with that product in my life. And it's true that the sales pitch of the product can sometimes be in alignment. And marketing isn't necessarily a bad thing, right? It can often inform us of something we didn't know about, a new product or service that really might improve our lives. We live in a country and in an era where progress is happening quickly, and hearing about beneficial changes is a good thing. Like, I want to hear about the new app that's going to be able to help me budget my money more effectively than some sort of Excel spreadsheet that I, at least personally, am not prone to using. Matt, although, is. And, you know, it Red Bull, let's say, doesn't actually give you wings, or De Beers, their marketing slogan is what a diamond is forever. Of course, it's not. And these phrases and feelings are often, they're building this emotional attachment. Marketers are constantly trying to get us to ascribe meaning to a product that they're selling, hoping that it's going to convince us to buy, parting us with our hard-earned money. Matt, just makes me think, going back to the watching videotape for an athlete earlier at the beginning of the episode, we made that reference. And a linebacker watching tape of a quarterback, they might start to recognize the subtle pump fake that a specific quarterback partakes in regularly. And instead of being fooled by it, because he's watched enough tape, he can recognize, no, I'm still going for the sack. And that can impact how he plays on the field. Same is true for us. Now that we know kind of the tape that the marketers often are using, it can help us make a better decision in the moment, I think, in order to keep our money momentum going. We don't want them to kind of like screw us up.
That's right. And oftentimes, I don't think these different companies are being malicious, right? Like, they're not intentionally trying to harm us. And we're not going through all of these different tactics in order to instill fear, sort of like one of the tactics that we talked about. But it's just a part of the game, right? Like, you're kind of talking about how the pump fake is the part of playing football. This is a part of the game. This is a part of what it means to be a consumer in the United States. And so not only is it important to know what the rules of the game are, but it's important to know what the different strategies and tactics are so that you can make sure that you're not losing momentum, that you're able to get ahead with your money as well.
Yep. All right, let's get back to the beer, Matt. This one is called Nordic Jam. It's by Two Pitchers Brewing. It is a lager with Nordic fruits like, what did it have? Strawberries, elderberries, and cherries. What are your thoughts on this beer?
Are those Nordic fruits, or is this just another example of labeling?
It could just be marketing here. I that's a good question. I'm not sure.
On the top here, it says all natural ingredients. So I don't want to drag Two Pitchers Two Pitchers Brewing through the mud. Wait, why does it... is it Two Pitchers? So I noticed over here it says all natural, real fruit, craft rattlers. And rattlers are typically made from beer and fruit.
I think that's mostly what they do is rattlers.
So it's like the two,
like
of those,
a lager with fruit.
Those two things that you combine together. Is that the whole thing?
I guess so.
Two pitchers, as in
no,
like
the two pitchers thing is like they... I think the two guys who started the brewery were both pitchers. That's how they met on a baseball team.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking, well, it kind of makes sense.
That's why the home plate symbol.
That's
here
what
on
I
the front,
thought,
yeah.
But it's a little bit wider than, I don't know, whatever. I was thinking two pitchers, as in you had like a one pitcher of fruit juice and another pitcher of beer, and you pour them together.
I can see why you
all
think
of a sudden
that.
You've got a rattler.
This is an example of confusing marketing.
Still enjoyed this beer. This is one you picked up, I think, because of the Nordic appeal. You saw yourself in that Viking on the label there. But yeah, this is good. It was a fruited lager. It had some of those nice, sweet, fruity notes, while at the same time having just like a nice, malty, kind of lagery backbone. Definitely enjoyed this one. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to drink a fruited beer that's not sour, because typically those things go hand in hand. And so, yeah, I'm going to say I need more Nordic fruit beers in my life. One of my favorite styles is fruited sour beers.
Oh, yeah.
But this is kind of fun to have, especially as we're wrapping up these hot summer months. It's still humid outside, so I'll take a light, refreshing, fruity beer.
You still got to stay hydrated.
I'm down with it. Yes, because beer is good at that.
Which is my favorite thing to say. Yeah, it wasn't overly tart like you would get with a fruited sour. It is, in fact, a party in a can, just like it says on here, which I would say is accurate, honest marketing.
Party in my mouth right now.
It also says on the can. I want to read everything on here now because we're talking about like marketing efforts and whatever. It says on here, no funny business, which, come on, that's 100% subjective. to you, it might be no funny business, but to me, it might be nothing but funny business.
Exactly. Yeah, all right. That's all in the mind of the beholder.
Yep.
So, all right, that's going to do it for this episode, my friend. Folks can find the show notes, links to some of the things we mentioned, up on our website at howtomoney.com.
And if you have not yet signed up for our newsletter, head over to howtomoney.com/newsletter. It's Wednesday, so you just missed yesterday's newsletter that went out. But you know what you should do? Go ahead and sign up, and then it'll be this nice, pleasant little surprise that shows up almost a week from now, and you won't regret it.
And by the way, you can actually go see prior How to Money newsletters on our website.
That's right.
At howtomoney.com. And so, yeah, you can /newsletter, and you can go check those out. So if you're like, man, okay, I'm interested, but let me go check one out before.
A taste of the goods first.
I give Matt and Joel my email address and then start sending me their funny business. I don't want none of that. I get it. So go take a look. You can see the most recent one and see if it is something you want coming into your inbox each and every week.
That's right.
But Matt, that's going to do it. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.